We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
The following program may not be suitable for children.
Hold on to your butts.
As the sun sets over Slab Town, in the shadows of the Fremont Bridge, a club comes to life where you can let your freak flag fly.
There's a new fiesta in the making as we speak. Full kegs. Everybody's gonna be there. You ought to go.
The only thing that's off limits are the words you can't say thanks to the FCC.
They don't know what the f*** they're doing. Do you understand that?
We've given away too much to arrive at these political compromises. Yeah, now.
Google me, bitch.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Well, my.
America, yeah!
America,
fat,
yeah!
Fat, uneducated, beer!
Yeah!
Drugs,
balls!
Drugs,
balls!
Yeah!
I told you, you dumb bitch!
Learned people, no!
Okay, we apologize.
It's time for the club, baby, on 105.1 and 1080, The Fan.
It's insane.
Hoo-wee.
New open's fantastic.
Yeah, I think it's good.
Makes me.
Yeah, I know some people miss the old open, but
well.
Look, things change.
Wait till Club 205 sponsors Club 105 in the shadow of the 405. Make it happen, Club 205.
Starting around 6:05.
Time is it now, yeah? That's 6:07, Nick.
Boy, TMZ has done it again. I was just looking at TMZ.
Is there anything TMZ can't do?
Well, they
sons
have
of guns are everywhere.
They have video of them wheeling Hulk Hogan out of his house on the stretcher.
Man, that's weird.
Yeah, it was like a neighbor just filming it.
Yeah, they had Michael Jackson getting wheeled out when he died too. Well, I think the idea is now is that everyone films everything, so when you get film like that, you call TMZ and they buy it. So, you know. I think they just may be the ones willing to pay for all that. Oh, yeah, I see you right here. Hogan getting drug out.
And I don't know if he was already... I assume he was already dead because there's not a lot of urgency there.
No, it doesn't seem like it.
But he... Dude... Well, no, I'm guessing he is dead because they have so many guys surrounding the gurney
and, yeah,
that you can't see it.
And no one is in any sort of rush.
No, there's like 12 guys wheeling him out of there.
I've learned this from living with the olds because... I mean, this is brutal. There is an ambulance in my neighborhood literally every day. And so I've learned two things. One, the number of people gathered outside of the house will tell you the severity of it.
Mm-hmm.
And two, that you can just get a sense of the urgency of the staff.
Sure.
Yeah, you know. You know when someone is just kind of milling around and all that, one of two things. Either it's A, it's not serious, or it was serious and it no longer is. You know, it's... Someone has gone to the other side. So,
well, the Hulkster is dead.
I don't know if would you want, like, I mean, I guess you're dead, so what does it matter?
Would I want what?
Well, I mean, it's the ideas. Like, is that
film
kind of
away?
Yeah,
I don't.
Yeah, you know, if you're the family, or you're like,
Yeah, it's probably. I would never film something like that.
No,
see, out of respect.
See, that's why I think it's weird. I mean, we film everything, so there is no privacy. But, like, seriously, dude, man, someone's dying, and you're like, oh man, let me take out my phone.
But they knew that was Hulk.
Yeah,
that's probably his house. That was his neighbor. Yeah. They knew who lives there, and so knew.
What I was gonna say, I gotta be careful. I almost cursed. What a crappy thing to do to film your dead neighbor.
I know, but how about this? What if your dead neighbor was famous?
Yeah,
and you know that TMZ is going to give you $30,000 for that video.
That's the real question.
You taking out your phone
of being a crappy neighbor?
Yeah, I'm.
Well, and it's like,
I know.
Like, you can sit here and say I'd never do that. But if 10 G's is on the hook, yeah, I'm doing it.
I stand corrected.
10 G's?
Well, look,
I'd do it for 10 G's.
Can I state too that I hate both my neighbors? They're both old. See you next Tuesdays. And I'd like to think that when they die, I would show some sort of respect and be like, all right, well, you know, someone loved you. I don't know who, because you're awful, but whatever. But if I
what
knew
a eulogy.
That, but if I, yeah, that's great. And I'd do the sign of the cross and send them on your way.
So thoughtful.
Yeah. Well, they're awful people. But if I knew that there was like 20, 25
G's.
Yeah, I got it. If I'm being honest, I'm filming.
The other thing here is that you can clearly tell who's filming. Like, in other words, people are going to know it's you.
Yeah.
Because you're outside of your house. Like, the angle shows which house is filming it.
Yeah, I am. You?
I mean, I certainly have a price.
Yeah, me too.
Me
too. And here's the thing. Just because I film it doesn't mean that I have to sell it. But I would. Because that's the thing.
That would be the only reason to film it.
Well, TMZ could lowball me, too. Because I could come in and be like, 50 grand. And TMZ would be like, dude, 500 bucks. And I'd be like, damn it, this is... All right.
Well, I took it. What else am I going to do with it?
I wonder if TMZ negotiates and plays hardball.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because you could, but I could be like, I'll sell it to someone else. What other sleazy organization would buy my dead neighbor video? Someone had to, right? It's like a bidding war. But TMZ gets it every time.
They do. That's a good question. Like, who else is in this game?
I don't know.
Because news outlets don't pay for stuff like
that. I don't think so. I think they have, like, integrity. But TMZ is like, whatever, dude. Give it to me. And they are first on everything. I
just think they're the people's first call.
Yeah.
When they have video that they think somebody would want.
That's what I would do. You know?
Well, anyway, Hulkster's dead. He was 71. He had a heart attack. We are separating the art from the artist here. And we loved the Hulkster. But Terry Bollea?
Garbage human.
Was an ass.
Yeah. And that's weird.
And he was racist.
Horribly racist. He once stated that he thought that his family had done so many bad things that they were going to get reincarnated as a bunch of N-words as punishment for being horrible people.
That's rough.
Holy
man.
Terry! And then he was upset about his daughter dating a black guy, a.k.a. the N-word again. But don't worry! He was like, oh, that doesn't reflect I'm a Christian. And it doesn't reflect who I am, even though every time I'm caught on tape, apparently I'm saying the N-word.
So one of the great Terry Bollea legacies. Is that right? I mean.
One of.
Yeah, that's right.
I think it is the one thing that Terry Bollea is known for outside of Hulk. Okay.
Yeah.
And it is that he was stupin' Bubba the Love Sponge, a radio host's wife.
Yeah, one of his good friends.
And, yeah, they were buddies. And they were all in on it. Like, apparently, Bubba the Love Sponge filmed it.
Yeah.
So we got to see Hulk doing it.
Although, no, I think what happened, supposedly, if I remember correctly, Hulk claims he didn't know he was being filmed. He knew that that Bubba was okay with it, but he did not know he was being
Bubba
filmed.
Was a cuck.
Yeah, Bubba liked the cuck chair or the cuck saddle. It's devious. But Hogan claims that he did not know that he was being filmed.
Well, whatever.
Which is why one of that's the lawsuit. He was filmed without his knowledge.
Yeah, so he sued Gawker, right?
Yeah.
For hundreds of millions.
I think he won $100 million.
Yeah, he won.
Bankrupted him.
In that trial was some of the finest audio of Terry Bollea that you will ever hear.
And believe me, you would say this too if $100 million were on the line.
It was kind of like a group hug.
You were discussing Hulk Hogan's penis.
Yeah, because Terry Bollea's penis is not 10 inches like you're trying to say.
All right.
It's not mine, because mine isn't that size. But we were discussing the length of Hulk Hogan's.
Seriously? So, you...
No, seriously, I do not have a 10-inch penis. No, I do not. Okay. Seriously.
Fair enough.
Sometimes when I wear a bandana as Terry Bollea, it's just because it's like a self-confidence thing where if I don't have the bandana on, it's kind of like hard not to look at, how bald-headed I am and how big my head is. My gut is telling me that this was off, this was wrong, and like from the feeling I had, I said, Bobby, you're not filming this, are you? And he just lashed into me. What the hell's wrong with you? I'm your effing best friend. How dare you say that to me? When they confirmed that Bubba was on the tape, and Bubba went up and turned the camera off, and Bubba told Heather that this is for our retirement, Heather, I just started violently shaking. I couldn't stop.
Their celebrity sex tape would not be his work. They were a child. Underway. Four.
My problem is this whole, the videotape that you guys put out that lives forever. It'll be there forever on the internet. That's the problem.
So that was the trial in a minute and 37 seconds.
Wait, so I'd like to point out that Big Sook does not have a 10-inch, or no, excuse me, Big Sook does have a 10-inch penis, but Jason Sukanik does not.
Right, that's exactly what he was saying.
I'm Jason Sukanik. And I would like penis to... is very, very important to me.
Can I ask a question? Why was that... I didn't watch the trial, don't care.
Yeah.
Why was that even a thing? Who cares?
I don't
know. So the guy was asking him, hey, so you were talking about your 10-inch. He's like, no.
Well, so
I was talking about Hulk's 10-inch.
So I think the idea was, if I remember correctly, Hogan was all about having sex with Bubba's wife. And he claims that Bubba was like, no, you knew you were being filmed. We were all in on this. And he was saying, look at how you talked about it. You bragged and all this. And Hogan was like, no. That was the Hulk Hogan persona when I was talking about, yeah, my 10-inch penis and blah, blah, blah. And he's just saying that was like a character was playing that, but Terry did not know he was being filmed and Terry felt violated. And now this tape's out there forever because he sued for invasion, okay, basically of privacy.
So when he was bragging about his hog.
Yes.
It was just Hulk being Hulk.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's like this idea of, well, you're claiming that this has destroyed your reputation and you're embarrassed. And they're like, no, you were bragging about how awesome you were in bed and your big hog and all this. And he's like, no.
But why does he have to, why is on the stand he has to say, I don't have that. Mine's only, you know. I mean, why? Why not just be like, yeah, man.
Because he was trying to be like, woe is me. If you knew you were suing someone for $100 million, you too would be like, I have a tiny penis and now I'm embarrassed that everyone has seen it. It's like when anything bad happens to you in trial or like when someone gets like bumped by a celebrity, like they show up to court and they're like, I have 3 broken vertebrae. I'm traumatized for life. I can no longer work. You know, you exaggerate a little bit. Hulk Hogan, a.k.a. Terry, had to play it up like he'll never live this down. Now give me my $100 million. Dude, this was probably the best. Him getting filmed by Bubba the Love Sponge and his hot wife were probably the best thing that ever happened to Hulk Hogan. It was $100 million. Dude, you're telling me that a little embarrassment for someone seeing your non-10-inch penis and your weird tan and bald spot, that's not worth $100 million to you? It works.
Hmm.
I may have watched it, by the way, back in the day.
The sex tape?
Oh, yeah.
I saw that, too. Yeah,
yeah. It's not the worst one. Gene Simmons owns that.
Yeah, but it's not great.
It's not great.
The Hogan one is not.
It's weird. It's awkward.
It's not inspiring.
No. But again, it's filmed from a secret vantage. It's just weird. It's just weird.
This says, during cross-examination in a Florida courtroom, Hogan was confronted with a 2006 interview about his genitalia.
Yeah.
The back and forth between Hogan and shock jock Bubba the Love Sponge, Clem, featured Hogan's former best friend claiming, I've seen it before, and saying, hard, you're probably 7 or 8 inches. Dude, I've got size 15 shoes. I wear a size 15 ring. Figure it out, answers Hogan, who says a man's penis is 2/3 the size of your feet and hands.
What?
So Hogan, you're claiming to maybe have a 10-inch... I'm not claiming. Those are the facts, Jack. A lawyer for Gawker, which posted hidden camera video of Hogan having sex with Bubba's then-wife, Heather, then asked if Hogan had any doubt that you were discussing the length of your penis. And that's where he said, well, sure. It's not mine.
Yeah.
I'm not that size, but Hulk, what? So he's...
Yeah. So I think this goes back to they're trying to prove, were you really damaged by this?
Right.
You were comfortable talking about your penis.
Right.
Is this really,
right,
you know, the shattering to your image? But yes, so Big Sook does have a 10-inch penis. That's important to except I don't have a bandana. I need something going on. If I put something on, all of a sudden I'm high T Big Sook, and then I get a giant penis. Other than that, don't judge me.
You think his penis ever wore a bandana? A little bandana hat?
A penis bandana would be the great. Like if Hogan like had a little one,
like for, a matching one,
dude, it'd be incredible. Little penis helmet bandana that it puts on.
God. All right, I've got more Hulk Hogan audio coming up next, and now this is the audio you didn't know you need. Now this is the Hulkster. Okay, this is not
brother. This isn't Terry.
This isn't Terry.
This is 10-inch Hulk Hogan,
and it's fitting on this day of his death.
Giant feet, giant hands. Figure it out.
We'll be right back. Club 1080 on 105.1 The Fan. Fan text line. You can reach it at 503-864-6326. What if Hulk's penis had a shirt it ripped through when he... when it... you know? When it grew?
It's the Hulk Hogan penis conversation you didn't know that you needed.
So the Hulkster, here's another thing about the Hulkster. Okay, so we eulogized Hulk Hogan in our second segment of radio broadcast today, or maybe that was the first, I can't remember. So if you want to hear us...
first and second, yeah.
Yeah, if you want to hear us talk about the Hulkster, like, you know, from our childhood, go back and listen to the first portion of our program. Yeah. We are now on to the deep cuts.
of Terry Bollea.
of Terry Bollea. And one of them is that Hulk... he released an album in 1995.
He was a real musician. He was like a professional bass player before he was a professional wrestler.
And it was called Hulk Hogan and the Wrestling Boot Band.
Hell yeah.
That was what they were called.
Yeah.
And the album was called Hulk Rules.
Well, remember, like, back in the day, dude, Hogan made a movie, like, No Holds Barred, and, like, they had, like, wrestling awards, like... and there's an entire album of WWE singers. Like they would release music videos. The WWE was crazy back in the day. I guess it was the WWF.
There were 10 scintillating tracks on the Hulk Hogan and the Wrestling Boot Band album.
Is this like when Dirk Diggler and like Boogie Nights had his own band? A little Feel the Heat.
You had Hulksters in the House.
Oh, yeah.
Followed by American Made. Hulksters Back. Wrestling Boot Travel Band, that was the name of a song.
Yeah.
Bad to the Bone, I Want to Be a Hulkamaniac, Beach Patrol, Hulk's the One, Hulk Rules, and this.
What's this called?
This, you may remember, Hulkster in Heaven.
Hey, Hulksters are in the title. There's like 8 of the songs have Hulk in them.
Only fitting on this, the day of his death.
I saw it on TV. I guess I'll be one empty seat when I wrestle at Wembley. I used to tear my shirt, but now you tore my heart. I knew you were a Hulkamaniac right from the very start.
Right from the start, you were my friend. I'll see this you again. Heaven,
which is today.
What is happening?
Oh, he's got backup singers.
Again.
How about the horn? Another verse.
You know, we'll win this fight. I wish you were here at ringside to cheer me on tonight. The spotlight now grows dim, and now it's not on me. The prayers we said together are still our guarantee. You are my friend.
It's moving, isn't it? This might be the worst song ever produced.
He wrote his own eulogy.
When my holster comes to heaven,
which is today.
Heaven, we'll tag up again.
Again, again. The world just lost
another Hulkamaniac.
A friend to the end.
Reminds me of like a song Charlie would do on It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
This is such a mess. Like, it's overmodulated. Like, you can't really hear him.
The best part is that somewhere right now, there is a professional musician that played on Hulkster in Heaven.
Oh, yeah. The horn.
The horn. And and like the backup singer, there's some lady sitting around right now telling her
yeah,
kids.
Yeah, they're actually pretty good.
Yeah, yeah, I was on this track.
He's talk singing though, he doesn't sing. The world just lost a friend.
Wow.
It's not over.
There's more.
He's my friend. I never thought of him as a friend.
No. No. But damn. Man. I don't know how we emotionally recovered from this.
Okay. I'll cut it off there.
Now, is it wrong that Driving Home Today, what is the name of this album?
It was called Hulk Rules.
I will be listening to the entirety of Hulk Rules on my way home. I feel it's only appropriate.
Front to back?
Well, I don't have this long, and I don't know if I'll, you know, depending on traffic. But, you know, Crazy Train right now is the number 3 song on the Billboard Hot 100. Is it possible that Hulkster in Heaven is right up there with it? Is this going to be a top 10?
If it gets too emotional, do you think you'll need a palate cleanser?
Yeah, yeah, Nemec. Stuck on that. All right. Coming up next, they didn't turn this plane around, but they did lose the body.
Oh, that's not good.
But first, Buck with SportsCenter.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
I see Andrew Nemec in there, a Hulkamaniac himself. He will be coming up at 7.
Boy, I'll tell you what.
He actually says he is not a Hulkamaniac.
Of course not.
I can see it in his face. He is.
I think we're all deep down. He just doesn't want to admit it.
He doesn't know about us separating the art from the artist, I don't think. So.
Yeah. We've done a deep dive into the Hulk Rules album, and let me tell you, Hulkster in Heaven, while it is a classic, it's not even the best cut on
this
album.
Hulkster in Heaven might be the worst. And I'm not even kidding. This is not hyperbole. I believe
bite
that Hulkster in Heaven is the worst song we have ever played on these airwaves.
It's a bold statement.
I'm not kidding.
It's a bold statement.
Give me one worse than that hunk of absolute dog ass. Give me one.
I'm getting emotional right now. What are you talking about?
Nothing rivals this absolute mess.
There's a hole.
All right. Do you want some Hulkster? Oh. More Hulkster?
Yeah. So this is the hit single. Now we got the emotional horns of Hulkster in Heaven, and so he's brought us down, and now he needs to bring us back up with like a flat out rock jam. And I give you this.
Already better.
The Hulkster's in the house.
Yeah. Damn right.
Check him out, check him out. Get up off your seat.
Yeah, let's go.
Yeah.
He's got a brand new beat.
Brother.
Going gets tough, the tough get rough. Hey, oh, oh, come on.
Oh, that's it.
Hey, oh, oh,
come on. Let's go. That's the chorus.
The Hulkster's in the room.
You know he's on the move.
Jeez.
I can feel it in my feet.
Me too, homie.
We're moving to the beat. When the going gets tough, the tough get rough. Hey, 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 oh, come on.
Let's go. I mean, they ran out of words.
Dude, this is a jam. It's a freaking jam. What are you talking about? You hearing that guitar?
So bad.
Dude, this is going into my workout mix. Now, do we have the other one as well? Or are we still
not yet? That's incoming.
So I just want you to realize that on one album, right, we get the emotional tenor of Hulkster in Heaven. I think we can all, especially on today, we've all felt something. We've gone through an emotional journey. And then we get Hulkster's in the house, which, oh my God. If you're not
Come on, let's go!
Oh! When the going gets tough, the tough get rough. Oh!
Okay, you know what? I am listening in real time as we download this Hulkamaniacs one, and boy, the rap verse is really something.
See, yeah, he raps.
Yeah, so we've got emotional Hulkster, we've got hard rock or rockin' Hulkster, but dude, his musical talent knows no bounds. There's a rap song.
Is he the most versatile musical artist of our time?
I think so. Like, we give Post Malone credit for being able to jump genres? No, 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 no. On one album, spiritual, gospel tune, hard rock, clearly a jam, and now we're rapping? I mean, come on. Tell me when we've got I Want to Be a Hulkamaniac. Because, I mean...
Can I give you another song that I think is better than...
Hulkster in Heaven?
Than Hulkster in Heaven?
Yeah.
Unwelcome sight in the neighborhood. Well, of developers,
dude, this is a jam.
Being greedy.
This song slaps.
This song slaps.
A
song slaps.
Where a tree once stood.
Look, I think they're both great.
Nemec also points out there's this one that Rob hasn't heard.
Such
that was
a lack of life and sound. All that's left is bare.
We talking
ground.
Over Seattle trees, huh?
Didn't realize
tree
you were still going.
Was murdered. The mighty dollar cut it down. There's a hole in the sky where a tree once stood.
Somebody's making money.
There's a hole in the sky where a tree once stood. Somebody's making money.
Yeah.
Laws protect exceptional trees. But the
absolute jam. Yeah. Absolute jam. You're right.
Yeah. I don't like
are
way better.
You on? Which side are you on? Tell yeah. me yeah. which side are you on? Which side are you on?
Look at your turn.
We'll sing, fight against Josh. We'll fight Elon Musk. No Elon's cab within our walls. We'll fight from dawn to dusk.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Which side are you on?
Let's go.
Which side are you on?
Come on.
I love this.
Which side are you on?
This is better than Hulkster in Heaven.
Which side are
Again.
You on?
That's not disparaging Hulkster in Heaven. Those two songs are great.
I have All right. another one.
Here is.
Yeah. Oh,
okay. I'm a Hulkamaniac.
Okay. I want to be a Hulkamaniac.
I want to be. Excuse me. Yeah. Excuse me.
Oh, yeah. Ooh. You're feeling it, right?
Little Olivia Newton-John vibe.
Yeah, I like it.
I want to be a Hulkamaniac.
Oh, yeah.
Bam.
I'm alright with this.
Yeah!
Inspiring the youth to be good
yes.
kids.
I wanna be a Hulkamaniac.
My family and friends.
When you're looking for something cool to do, just pick good friends to be with you.
Yeah.
You better watch
good
out
message.
Where you are at. You may be judged where you hang your hat. Can you feel the music? Can you feel the beat? You don't need drugs to move your feet. When the dealer tries to push on you, just tell him what you're gonna do.
I wanna be a Hulkamaniac.
All right, well, that's all right. I think he should have been a rapper.
I'll just tell you right now, the next time I'm offered drugs, my response is going to be, I wanna be a Hulkamaniac. Dude, they're not gonna know what to, well, probably won't be a drug dealer, it'll be one of my friends. They're not gonna know how to respond when I hit him with, I wanna be a Hulkamaniac. And just have fun with my family and friends. Dude, all of those hits on one album? Are we sleeping on possibly the greatest album of the 90s? I mean, how did this not win a Grammy?
I actually thought I saw different cover art when I was downloading this that last one. It's possible he did more than one album.
Oh, really?
Like Shaq Diesel and Shaq Fu.
Well, let's keep going.
I just want you to know, when you're driving home tonight, every one of you listening, you may not want to, but you know what you're going to be singing in your head? I want to be a Hulkamaniac, having fun with my family and friends. Damn right.
How about this? Is this the
curveball? Boy, you—that was a 12-6 curveball, and I struck out.
It was.
Well, I was sitting fastball.
That froze you like
you,
a.
Yeah, you
your
buckled.
Knees buckled. This is apparently the lowest voice ever recorded.
Yeah, that's not slowed down. This is him actually singing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What if you could get this guy to sing I Want to Be a Hulkamaniac?
Oh.
Or maybe Hulkster in Heaven would probably be more appropriate.
God.
He could cover Hulkster in Heaven with this. He could.
That song's great, too. It's official. Hulkster in Heaven is the worst song that has ever aired on this radio station.
I know what you're talking about, man. I love it.
I'm not.
I felt it. I think we all went through something during this club. I think we all felt the connection to a higher power, whatever that is.
All right, we will wrap it up next. Thank God. On 105.1 The Fan.
I read it in the papers. I saw it on TV. I guess it'll be one empty seat.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's morning lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
All right, well, that's enough fun for one day. Sorry, your ears are all bleeding, and apparently people are threatening to sue us over that. It was a lot.
I want to be a Hulkamaniac, have fun with my family and friends. I just can't wait. I need someone to offer me drugs so that I can respond with, I want to be a Hulkamaniac.
Yeah, watch what you do, watch what you eat. You don't need drugs to move your feet.
That's... I'm gonna have a whole repertoire ready to go.
Man.
By the way, like all those like 80s commercials, who are these people handing out free drugs and where do I find them? It's like back in the day, they just thought like anyone was coming up to you and be like, hey, you want some drugs for free?
I love that he's like, hey, tell your dealer no. And it's like, well, if you have a dealer, isn't it because you're telling him yes?
My dealer.
Like, some random dealer's not just approaching you, right?
It's a great point.
The 80s were a hell of a time, man. They just were.
They were. Like, I was trying to think, like, does this even, stuff like this even exist today?
I don't think you can.
Like,
I don't think you can have it.
I mean.
It was a simpler time.
Netflix says, imagine running into your dealer and him being like, hey, buddy. And you're like, I can't. I'm a Hulkamaniac.
I want to, but I don't need drugs to
move. Dude, that sounds like a after-school PSA video.
We really did those. Like, you had the people come to your school and they'd role play. Yeah. You're like, no way, man. Drugs are for losers. I don't need that to have a good time. I'm going to go play some tetherball. Get out of here. It's like, what? And then there was always that one where, like, there was, like, one kid would, like, offer someone a joint, and then everyone was like, oh, man. They acted like that guy was basically committing genocide. You're like, what? You're smoking a doobie. Oh, my God. You're the worst human being on the planet. And everyone shamed him out of the school.
Well, someone put it on the text line. This is why I'm a Weird Al guy.
I wonder if Weird Al was a Hulkamaniac.
Has he played his show in Portland yet?
Two shows.
Edgefield?
Yeah.
Did he already come and go?
I don't know. But he had two shows at Edgefield back-to-back that were sold out. I have no idea if those happened or not. Shocking, I didn't go to see Weird Al.
And for our last story, Jace... A Turkish Airlines passenger died during their international flight to California.
That's not good.
And officials cannot explain where the body is.
Oh, what? Did he really die then? Or did he, like...
No, he died.
Are you sure? He, like, didn't get up and, like, leave and be like,
wasn't there a movie about this, like, with Jodie Foster, Flight Plan? She just, like, disappeared on the plane or something? Or her kid did?
I remember something like that.
Istanbul to San Francisco, July 13. This man suffered a severe medical emergency. The crew was preparing to divert the plane in Iceland after the passenger died midair. However, they ultimately decided to continue flying toward North America rather than divert outside U.S. airspace,
okay,
which I would have been applauding.
that decision comes on, and Rob's like, I thought that, like, if Rob's on the plane, Rob would have hit the damn body and be like, you know what, we'll deal with this when we get to San Francisco.
That's exactly right.
Shove his ass into the bathroom, lock the door, and we'll...
He's dead, he doesn't care.
That's exactly right. He's not coming back to life. Get me to San Francisco. The urgency to make an emergency landing decreases after a passenger dies, allowing the crew to find an airport that is better equipped to handle the situation. Did you know that?
I didn't. So, medical emergency, land immediately, death, you're like, you can keep
going. Like, Upon entering the airspace over the United States, the crew opted to land at Chicago O'Hare, a major international hub capable of handling emergency landings with adequate medical support and facilities. The cause of the passenger's medical emergency remains unknown.
What sort of medical... He's dead. What, the people of Des Moines can't handle a dead body? Like, what sort of medical equipment? Like a gurney? What? Like, if you land in Hartford, they're like, I don't know what to do. Can't handle it. Can't find a stretcher anywhere. That's ridiculous. Meanwhile, Chicago's getting all the corpses. I wonder if the people over here are like, another one? The hell, man? Keep giving these to us.
So upon landing at O'Hare, the body was removed from the aircraft. At this point, responsibility should have shifted to the Cook County Medical Examiner's Office. However, the medical examiner's spokesperson is saying that they have no record of a body being brought to them from the flight, nor does the office have any cases that would match the description of this incident.
Oh, boy.
That's not good.
So we just have a body that's gone.
Where did they take the body?
Did they dump it like Pinball and Con Air and just let him go out the landing gear?
Throw him down the slide?
Is this like some sort of weird, like, Black Ops sort of thing? Like this guy, like Epstein?
What if he never boarded the plane? Were there actual witnesses?
Right.
Faking a death sort. Like, how do you lose a body?
We need to follow this. I want primetime follow-up.
I know. This is
it's weird.
Well, you're going to get a primetime follow-up.
I would like to point out that I am not following up on this, and whoever is in charge of this, I want nothing to do with this, and this is all newsman Isaac Rod.
Medical emergencies occur on approximately one in every how many flights?
110.
600.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Yep.
That's good.
About 3 out of every 1,000 incidents are fatal.
I've never been on one with a medical emergency.
I've been on one where they've asked if there's a doctor on board, but then they haven't had to do anything like turn the plane around.
Dr. Dow.
I have a buddy of mine that does, he used to do the doctor on, and he won't anymore. He's like, there's nothing I can do for anyone. I don't have any sort of equipment, and... It's a long reason why, but he just...
Now I'm on the hook for their well-being.
He doesn't do it anymore. If he ever gets a doctor on board, he just... Too many doctors he knows have had really bad experiences, so he just stays quiet.
All right, coming up next is Andrew Nemec. Recruiting with Andrew Nemec. We are back tomorrow, 3 to 7, here on these fine airwaves, 105.1.
The Hulk of Maniacs.
The Fan. Good night.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.